This is Tabletop Babble, and I'm Amber. Today on the show, I chatted with podcaster, streamer, and writer Morgan, who is an incredibly sweet hype machine. We sat down on April 3rd and talked safety tools, our shared love of the Powered by the Apocalypse game Monster Hearts, their podcast Powered by the Players that highlights PBTA games and BIMPOC, as well as all the amazing work they've been doing for Hutopia, such as their TTRPG show Game at a Glance, where, well, I'll let Morgan talk about it later on in the show. All right, let's go. Hi, Morgan, and welcome to Tabletop Babble. For my viewers, for my listeners, viewers, we're recording a podcast. I don't know what I'm doing.
Viewers for your ears.
Viewers for your ears, yes. Would you mind, please, introducing yourself, telling us who you are, where they can find you on the internet if they want to find you, and what you do in the TTRPG space.
Yeah, hey, I'm Morgan. My pronouns are they, them, and she, her. You can find me in all the socials at Serena Bezos. I do a lot of tabletop gaming, actual plays through Twitch or via podcast. I talk about tabletop games. I like tabletop games. I sometimes write tabletop games. I do things.
You do little things. You do a lot of things. So I first met you through the Roll to Play podcast, people. Is that where you started getting your, like, online podcasting stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it's a funny story. So I don't know if you know Banana Chan or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for viewers, Banana Chan's a big tabletop designer. Just finished co-writing Jungshi Blood in the Banquet Hall, just so you have an idea, listeners, viewers for your ears. Basically, we were at a conference, a LARP conference called Living Games 2018, and Banana and I have known each other since like 2016 or so. And we're at this conference, and she just randomly comes up to me after a panel, and she's like, hey, so I know you like playing podcast or playing like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, but I have these friends starting a podcast and I'm looking for people. Do you want to join? And I was like, okay, cool. And it was Kent Blue, Tim Devine, and Doug Levandowski. Like, and so that's how Cleo and I both joined those guys.
Well, then how did you, were you Cleo and Banana part of like the same LARPing group?
So it's a LARP conference, so we all sort of just came together. Banana and I have known each other even through the LARP circles. Mm-hmm. And Cleo, I've known through the LARP circles as well. So,
okay, cool. Because like, I had Banana on for an episode a few back, and I was like, I forget LARP exists,
especially in this day and age when we're not allowed to go outside.
I know, exactly. And I was like, oh wait, yeah, LARP is a thing that people do, but I don't really know enough because like all of my like geeky nerdy stuff for the tabletop is literally just tabletop RPGs, and so I'm always like, LARP is a thing, and I didn't even know like conferences were a thing or like you could write for, like, it's just one of those things where you like, you know it exists, but you just don't like pay attention to it because it's not your thing.
And then once you realize like LARPing exists and then there's so much more to it, you're like, oh
yeah,
what is this stuff I'm digging into?
So how long have you been doing LARP then?
I've been playing tabletops and LARP since I was 15.
Okay.
Or so. I'm early 30s now, so gives you half my life at this point. But, you know, I started LARPing, and then I think like the month before I started doing tabletops, because my best friend at the time was dating a guy who was doing like this Vampire the Masquerade LARP, and he invited her to come with her, and she didn't want to go alone, so I went with her. So I was the buddy. And I fell in love. I fell in love with it, and then like I was seeing this guy, and like the month after that, he started a Dungeons & Dragons game, and I joined him on that.
It's so funny how that happens. Like, I feel the same thing happened with me, Magic the Gathering, where it was like a bunch of people were like, we're gonna go play Magic the Gathering, I don't want to go by myself. Amber, you should just come along and like hang out with me. And I'm like, oh, okay, what is this card game, I guess? And then all of a sudden, now I'm like years deep into playing,
making
it.
A podcast about it.
I know. Yeah, you turn into things into podcasts. So you almost started LARP and tabletop stuff like at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh. So what did you, when you were doing it, did you like love both the same, or were you more drawn to one over the other?
I liked LARPing more just because you get to dress up and you're acting things out and you're talking about it. Because I never done theater, like even through the rest of high school or college, I've never done theater, never done community theater. But there was something about like getting into character that was just like super fun and just like being a part of that. So like getting dressed up and like being in a different mindset for like for like 4 hours or so is super cool.
So how about D&D?
So the current boyfriend at the time brought me to D&D. He was running it. I wish safety tools existed back in the day. I really did.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because he violated, both of them violated actually some major safety issues,
Oh.
both in tabletop and LARP. So, and I won't get into those now. Just,
Sure.
yeah, because,
Sure. Yeah. No, you don't have to.
yeah.
Absolutely don't have to.
I mean, I can talk about that. I don't want the viewers to get upset because trigger warnings for a lot. But anyways, yeah, he violated some, like, the tabletop guy violated some things, but I still played because I didn't know any better.
Sure.
Same thing with the LARP thing. I didn't know any better. I didn't know, like, because I was young and, like, impressionable and, like, stuff like that. But I'm really happy safety tools exist now. And I'm happy my pain and what I've gone through and me, you know, what I've faced helps push these safety tools so no one else has to go through that.
You and I are about the same age, and looking back on even my like TTRPG experience, like I had bad experiences that forced me to only game with certain people that I trusted and I knew, because I hated going to conventions and then getting at a table where it was like not a good situation. Like I'm gonna do this for the listeners. I'll share this safety warning, just like sexual stuff. Where basically I had a game, I showed up at a convention and I was put on the spot to like seduce a succubus. And I was like, I don't do that. Like, I don't do flirting in games. It's a line for me. And especially not anything of like over, like there were overt sexual descriptions being talked about
Especially
with
with
the subject.
randos, like
Yeah, I was like, at least there was like four people at the table I knew, but like the other three people plus the GM, I had no contents with, and I was the only woman at the table
Then
at the
presenting,
time.
oh God, okay,
Yeah, and I was like, no, I'm good. I blush and I don't say anything.
yeah, and safety tools didn't exist then too, I'm
No,
guessing.
right.
yeah
Yeah,
yeah
that's why I brought it up, is because it was just not a part of the conversation. You weren't, you, and that's why I stopped playing at convention games, because I didn't know what the content of the game was going to be, what would the GM do if something came up, or if the
yeah
GM themselves did something when it came up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I will now share my experiences because I feel like, I
Sure.
want to. So CW sexual assault in game. Basically, because I was the only femme in the vampire LARP, and they had like a demon guy, and he wanted to like do this ritual or whatever, and he had impregnated a female vampire.
Oh, God.
So being the only femme who was not consenting,
Yep.
who have fought and still lust, and cannot, because they want to push that plot, they kept saying there's nothing you can do about it, blah 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 blah. I'm like,
Wow, great. And like, I think it's interesting because it's one of those things too where it's like you can separate out your character. Like, I think if I had like out of character talking and saying, hey, I'm okay with this happening to my character, but I personally like just don't, I just want to veil it, like, or whatever. I think that's possible. But then it's just like when you as a person say, hey, that's not okay, then there should be a way to like change the narrative
But the thing
to.
is also too, the language wasn't in place back in the mid 2000s to say like I don't want that, because there were no safety tools, there was no like safety player like ideology about like you were just like, okay GM, I guess I have to because you said so,
You're
like
the
sort
GM.
of thing. Yeah, and I'm supposed to trust you, like
And I think that's interesting now, but also I think about like me as a person, I'm a very shy at the table with strangers person. If I don't know the group dynamic, I don't know it, I'm less likely to speak up because I don't want to make a big deal.
Honestly, and as fin folk, that's what we're also taught to do as well. Like, unfortunately, that's what we're socialized to do. And yay, good old gendered socialization.
Oh boy, I could really
We can
go
just
into
have a whole
stuff.
talk on that.
Whoo boy. So yeah, so safety tools. It's one of those things where I think now it's really nice that that conversation has been going on for the last, 10 years or so, and is becoming more and more discussed, and that people are feeling more and more, one, comfortable using it, two, understanding the importance of it,
mm-hmm.
and to do that. So
yeah, and unfortunately it hasn't permeated like D&D spaces, but I think it will in time. The thing is though, like, because D&D is the big game that everybody knows about, and it's not, it was never built into the system itself from the get-go. Like a lot of like probably Apocalypse Games or any of the other indie games, they have it from the get-go. Like, hey, these are the lines of bells. This is our toolbox. This is what we're using. So I've been like trying to like push it onto, because I used to do D&D, or kind of still do, I don't know, because of this panini that we're in. There, it hasn't been going on in person. So I was pushing like safety tools onto them. So hopefully once we get back into the real world, I can start pushing more of it. I'm like, hey, we're still doing safety tools.
Don't forget. Yeah, so D&D. So you have an in-person game that you've been running or playing in?
Oh, not now,
but not like now. In the before the pandemic.
In the before pandemic. Okay, so yeah, I think I actually started GMing D&D. That's when I first started GMing, probably like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, give or take. And it was at this local bar, gastropub called Vigilante. And it's a game bar, so they have board games and stuff, but it's also like bar foods and like a full line bar and stuff, so like you can get drinks and whatnot. And it's a really cool place. I love it. It's really fun. It has like those lights that you turn on so the waiters can come by and like harass you constantly, and like you just turn on your light when you need them, and you just,
That's nice. I like that. It's like not raising your hand, just turn a light on. I like that a lot.
Yeah, they have like some little ones that are sort of connected to the ceiling, so it's like little arrows that are glowing. I'm like, hey, we need you. So I was running D&D there, and it's great. Because what they do is they have like the whole bar is like the same D&D setting, and everybody starts at the same level, and then we sort of like all the GMs all sort of work together to like build like the world's history and the story and stuff. So it takes a lot of pressure off the single GM.
Yeah.
So that helped out a lot for a newbie GM like me. And so we just played weekly for, I think, like 3 hours? Yeah, 3 hours.
Oh, that sounds so awesome. I wish we had stuff like that where I live before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Maybe after the pandemic. Whenever we all get vaccinated, it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay to go out and about in the world. Because, like, I've never had that experience where I would play. So were you running it for people that you did not know?
Yeah, so basically you would get a table of people, and there are a lot of people that I didn't know. I started playing there, I think, the first year. Because the first year they had it. And I just kind of walked in on a whim because I was like, you know what? I heard that, there's D&D Session Zero happening tonight for this big bar thing. And I was like, maybe I'll just go in and look around and just leave. And as soon as I was leaving, my friends walked in. And they're like, hey, Morgan, sit down with us. So I stayed. And then I played the whole first year because each year is a season, quote unquote. So we went through 1 through 20, the whole one full year.
Uh-huh.
And then season 2 was like, okay, cool. I guess I can run it because, like, I know the people here. I know a lot of players and a lot of DMs. So I knew quite a few of the people. I just didn't know everybody. So there was a bunch of people that I didn't know that were at my table. So I was like, hey, I'm your GM. But a lot of the GMs were so helpful because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what they're going to be fighting. And they're like, oh, where's the story right now? And I tell them, like, oh, here's an idea. I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm going to use that. So, like,
yeah, it's so much easier to bounce stuff off like lots of other people. That's such a good,
yeah.
good experience for you. Because I did not have a lot of people to help me with stuff. No, it was fine. It was fine. I had a good time. But I also started out. I've never run D&D. Right into indies for running games. So that kind of brings me to my next question for you, where it's, when did that transition happened from like, oh, there is more than D&D? Was it with the podcast and being exposed to through like Roll to Play's network?
So like I knew indies for a while. When I first moved to Austin, I had friends here, and we had like experimental game night, so we get together once a month and play like indie games. So I played I don't know what it was called. It was like 7 years ago, so I really don't remember. But I played like Monster Hearts and The Dream Askew and Microscope, and like, just once in a month we just play these games. And so like I really like them. And then I don't remember exactly how I got more into doing indies at this point. I think my love for Monster Hearts just happened.
Uh-huh.
And it was there. And then like because I was doing podcast stuff with Role to Play Network and the Red Death, they were doing more podcast stuff, and eventually I started diving into the world. I was like, oh, all these games.
There's so many games.
Yes, so many.
I love Monster Hearts. It's oh,
Same.
chef kiss.
Yes.
Let's talk about Monster Hearts, because
Okay.
I don't think we've really I've had it's so funny because I feel like every time I've had somebody on, like the talk of thirsty sword lesbians has come up. Like that's a big one. Like that's happening right now, which I think is Monster Hearts like
Esque.
esque.
Yeah, it's I think it's a four is it a Forge in the Dark game or Power of Apocalypse? I don't
I think
remember
it's power.
which.
I think it's PBTA.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of reading it for another Tabletop Spotlight in a deep dive, in-depth review of it. And it's powered by the Apocalypse, but I was reading through it and I was noticing things like conditions and strings and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this is Monster Hearts.
I haven't really like I've read I think I've skimmed through Thirsty Swords Lesbians, so I don't really know it too well, but Monster Hearts is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, tell me why you love it so much.
I think it's because it's a reflection of my teen, your teenage years, because you're basically, if you don't know Monster Hearts is a game about teenagers who are monsters literally and metaphorically, who are going through changes and unsure of how their body is and how their, attractions are. Because as a teenager, I was very confused. I didn't know who I was, and like, you don't communicate, you act out, you are a monster in a sense. I was a monster. I was like a really angry being.
Oh,
Like,
I was a very, very angry teenager.
And so, and they have like all these different skins that are basically playbooks, and your reflections change it, and then you have bonds, which are strings in this game. And strings means like how you have influence over people in a way. So, I think mine is because I don't know, it's cathartic to play through a high school scenario where my own high school was kind of like, like it was just basically how I got into high school is I got pulled out of small town Texas and placed into the suburbs of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So I got called Sandy my freshman year of high school because of my accent. Like,
Oh
saying, hi, y'all, I'm from Texas, y'all.
Oh
So, and I don't know, it's nice just to get into those feelings and just like try it out.
And
So.
I really love like you being called Sandy is like the mechanic in Monster Hearts where you're like labeled or you get like
A
a
condition?
condition where it's like
Yeah.
you are now this and then you take some sort of it's just I think it's mostly narrative, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It's mostly narrative where now you're like everyone calls you that or like kind of whatever however characters want to act out that and it's such a like I agree. Like I'm getting when I get excited about stuff, I'm just like all goosebumped right now.
Oh yeah.
Gosh, calm down, arms.
I'm just
But
goosebumped because I'm cold. So.
I get goosebumps when I get like when you see something translated so well into a game,
Yeah.
where you're like, I get conditions because I know that experience being
Yeah,
a
you get called a name, and then word flies fast in a high school, and everybody knows, like, oh, did you hear that? Because Morgan's the new girl from Texas, and we call her Sandy. You should call her Sandy too, like that sort of thing. Because teenagers
Well,
are awful.
yes, I grew up in a household with 14 brothers.
Oh
I was
no.
the middle child, and they decided one like week that they were only going to refer to me as cuss words. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And like they wouldn't do it around my parents, like, right? But they would just call me
Of course
all
not.
horrible stuff, and I was like, "What did I do to
You're
deserve this?"
like, guys, come on.
So I feel the same way with Monster Hearts where it's like being now to be an adult and then put like going back in mentally into that space and then having more agency over like your teen avatar is I feel is empowering.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's so good. It feels great, and then you can explore other avenues. Like, I played one character. I played a unicorn in one game, and she was just like this, like lived in a little tiny like travel van, like, you know, like a little souped up house van, was vegan and like all that. And I was like, I have to live my ethical, like, source like life through her. And she's just like the most gentlest thing. But you know, she's just being hunted by monsters because she's like one of the last unicorns and they just want her blood. Like, no big deal. Like,
I was gonna say, what's your favorite playbook or skin in Monster Hearts?
I've honestly played all of them, but I really like the werewolf. I don't know why, just it's a classic.
It's I like the werewolf too because it's one of those like I'm confused, I don't know what's going on, I'm gonna lash out. And I don't really know how to articulate what's going on with me or really know how to share that stuff. So punch punch and claw claw and bite bite.
And I'll figure this out later. Like,
Whatever, I like that. I also like the witch
the witch is a good
too,
one.
which is like having like a lot of like little strings on people
Tokens from them.
Oh God, Monster Hearts is so good.
Have you read a lot of like the extra playbooks that are out and about?
No, I haven't yet because I basically ran Monster Hearts 2. I ran Monster Hearts 2 for a while, like at like when we could have conventions and go places. I would run Monster Hearts 2 with people I knew, but then I haven't run it since. So, no.
The most recent one I played was like back in December, and I played the Queen. And eventually, because we played like a good story arc, and my MC actually decided to like start merging playbooks if people start growing out of their playbooks. So my queen became like the Queen Chosen, or the Chosen Queen.
Oh, cool.
But oh my God, so like the playbooks aren't for release or anything, just because it was just like a homebrew stuff. But basically, it was like you're looking for redemption, you know. So anytime like I would like, put myself in like harm's way, I would get the condition hypocrite. Which
Oh.
was very on point, because you know.
Yeah, that's so good. Gosh, what a good freaking game and I love it so much. That love for Monster Hearts and then that Powered by the Apocalypse love. I know stuff that you're doing in the space and I know one of the shows is Powered by the Players. So, how did that get started?
It was 2019 at Big Bad Con, and Kristen Devine and myself were just chatting because we're like friends, we're getting to see each other, you know, hang out, like whatever. And we're talking, and she was just talking about like, oh, you know, it'd be great. Yeah, like there's like a just a podcast covering Powered by Apocalypse games, like just a whole podcast. I was like, and eventually I was thinking about, I was like, I looked at her, I was like, let's do
Let's do
it.
it.
So so it was us, and then we wrangled in Diana Lorraine with Modcaster on Twitter, just because Diana's a huge, like, you know, get into the games as well. Because you know Diana through the Kids on Bikes game that was happening, or Bike Brigade, or whatever it was called in the end, which is a Kids on Bikes like actual play podcast, and that's how it started. It was just the three of us, and then
It's so funny. It's like you make a friend, you're like, let's do a
because
podcast.
you're like, you know how to do a podcast, I know how to do a podcast, let's just do it.
It's fun. I mean, I personally think it's like the way that I make friends is one, playing through games, and then two, doing projects together because it's just a way to
Oh,
like
def.
focus and be creative and fun together. But so Powered by the Players, where are you at with it? Because I mean, I was on for the current one that's running right now, but kind of give me like.
What we done, and like, so we started originally on Masked, and we started recording that. I think we started getting people together in December 2019, and did a mini campaign at that. Then we did like a one shot, rather, or a two parter of Bluebeard's Bride. Because apparently one shots take really long time, especially when you do like session zero. So you always have to do a second part to them. Then we did a mini campaign of Monster of the Week. Then we did Escape from Dino Island. That
I don't even know. You have to tell me what that game is, because I have no idea what that game is.
Escape from Dino Island is basically a Powered by Apocalypse game by Sam Tung and Sam Robinson. And it's about like, it's like Jurassic Park-esque. So basically you go onto this island, and there's dinosaurs, and you have to escape because the island's falling apart, or like, you know, the dinosaur robots are coming to get you, et cetera. Like,
I would like to play that. That would be
it is
fun.
a wild ride. So it was, trying to remember, it was Diana, Jess, AJ, and Paul. So Paul, wild engineer, Diana, you know, and then Jess and AJ were from Monster of the Week. They did this whole thing with Survivor. And then essentially, because one guy was like, AJ was like, oh yeah, I'm a survivor who's supposed to be on Survivor, sort of thing. And I was like, you know what? I just threw in Jeff Nope in there, like the hosts, just for
Yeah,
the
that's
heck.
what sounds great.
Paul played the paleontologist, and he was a conspiracy theorist.
Oh boy, that'd be great.
It was, if you get a chance to listen to it, it's a wild ride.
Was gonna say, knowing Paul from
Crossroads,
Crossroads,
yeah.
I would love to see what this conspiracy theorist is like.
It was just a wild ride. So that was another two-parter, and then we did Crossroads Carnivals at the All with you, Paul, Kate, Diana, and Kristen. So, and that's currently going, and we've currently stopped production just because the paninis got into like all of us. So, and we're supposed to be starting recording back up in May.
Does the thought of leading a group through the creative landscapes of your imagination terrify you? Do you worry about being asked questions you don't know the answers to? Have you wanted to try being a dungeon or game master, but your social anxiety has been holding you back? Hi, I'm Amber, and I used to nearly vomit at the idea of running a tabletop RPG. How did I get over that anxiety? I haven't. Surprise! I'm still an anxious mess, and you can listen to all of it on Shapeshift, where I've recorded 80% of every game I've ever ran. Over the last 4 years, I've run a ton of indie one-shots like Casketland, a weird Western horror game, to my first ever campaign using Ryutama, a Studio Ghibli-like exploration-focused game. Follow me through my journey learning how to GM and to live with my anxiety. It doesn't go away completely, but it does get easier to manage. Go to geekspective.com to find out more information or find Shapeshift on wherever you listen to your podcasts. I love the idea of Powered by the Apocalypse, just a show about those games, because there's so many.
Yeah, there's a lot. I don't know if you've ever seen my spreadsheet, but there's like 70 something
No, I've not
games.
seen your spreadsheet. Oh my God.
I've actually started like doing, and it keeps growing. I'm like, stop. No, I'm happy there's more games, but also stop.
Well, I mean, it's, I think as long as people want to express themselves creatively and make games, I think
Oh yeah.
Powered by the Apocalypse is a good way to get your
Yeah,
feet wet.
it's a good narrative game. It's collaborative. It's a good system with the ideas of the mechanics of being like seven un or six under fail, but you get experience. You fail forward, which I freaking love. Like I love the idea of like you're learning from your mistakes, therefore you're getting experience, and that's it's so good. Seven and nine is like a mixed result, which is okay, which is understandable. Like yeah, you do it. However, something else happens, and then 10+ is like yeah, you get it because it's such a high like range of numbers, and I've seen variations on all that too, which is just makes things a lot better, and I enjoy. So
I do too. I was going to ask you, since you played D&D first, did you find the transition mentally, system-wise? Because you already said that you were like super into like LARP and role play
Yeah.
itself, but like system-wise, did you feel that there was a hard transition, or was Powered by the Apocalypse pretty easy for
Oh
you
my God,
to
it was so much easier.
grasp?
I was just like, this is
Okay.
where I need to be. This is because D&D has too many rules, it's too structured. Not to mention the racism and the game design and like
Yeah, built in, yeah.
good old Tolkien. But it just being an open conversation between players, that's my bread and butter. Like, that's what I love.
For me, I think I was fine. I had a hard time with the role play. Like, that was a thing that Powered by the Apocalypse helped me out with.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, prior, and I don't know if this is your D&D experience with other D&D players, but I would be like, yeah, I cast Fireball and
Yeah.
it does 12 damage, and I'd be done describing.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna hit it. Yeah, I'm gonna hit it again. Okay, cool.
And then when I went to Powered by the Apocalypse and it was playing like Apocalypse World and other variations, it was like, Yes, now when I shoot the fire from my head, it forms into a baby dragon.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff. And it was like, oh, I can do this?
I can talk about these things. It opens the door up to a lot more conversations than that. That's what I really like. Instead of like, I actually had this conversation, I think, last night with my I was playing a Power Meeple Pockets game called Chimera. It's currently in playtesting mode and it's about to be released in a few weeks. It's by Amar Amaraz and Ryan Bolton.
Oh, cool.
It's
Yeah.
basically you take two genres and you slap them together and that's your world.
Nice.
One game that they have every other Friday is called Cape and Blade, which is ran on Hutopia. And it's ran by Amr. And theirs is a fantasy superhero game, I believe. And ours is A Tale of Twinkle and Awe on the alternative Fridays called A Tale of Twinkle and Awe. And it's a superhero, magical girl, and fantasy world all slapped together.
Fun.
So basically, you have pretty much two playbooks, and you can actually have, and sometimes the playbooks are like swapped around depending on like what's first, what's second. And one from one genre and the other one's from the other genre, and you just like that's how you build your character together.
I love smash up stuff. Like that's me, because it's like it just blows your mind up with creativity. Like
Yeah.
I can't wait to act this stuff out. I'm excited. We are getting ready to transition from one of our shows on Geekspective from playing Kevin Crawford's Godbound to
Okay.
going to a Powered by Apocalypse game called Beam Saber.
Beam Saber. No, so Beam Saber's actually Forged in the
Is it
Dark.
Forge in the Dark? Well,
Close enough.
cl
It's a D6 system.
it's like there's Powered by the Apocalypse and then Blades of the Dark came out of that.
Yeah, with the Forged in the Dark system. Yeah, and then
Okay.
I actually play that too, like once to twice a month or.
Oh, really? Do you how tell me about it, because I gotta. Okay, this is what I'm like, all right, I
Okay.
need you're here to give me knowledge
Okay,
then.
so Beam Saber is a mixed game. We actually played Microscope before we actually started Beam Saber to help
Ooh,
out with our
cool.
backstory and our history. So if you haven't done Session Zero yet and you want to get some backstory, play Microscope if you want some more history.
Which is like a world
Building, yeah,
building.
you're like it's sort of like you set your end dates of like beginning and end for Microscope, and then you zoom into specific like times and like talk about what happened per those ages, and then like you have your old history
Yep. Side note, real quick. I love using other games
to set up other games.
to set up other games.
Another one you could probably do is A Quiet Year to set
Yep,
it up as
perfect.
well, if you're just doing a world. But Beam Saber, because it's mechs, you're probably going through a whole galaxy. So basically, our group, if I remember correctly, we've only played it twice. So, and last time was back in February, so trying to get in my brain. Basically, we're in like the middle of war, and we're just like we're not part of any of the big factions. We're part of a smaller faction, and we're just trying to like go through and do things. I play the thief or the crook, not the crooked, but like the infiltrator is what the playbook's called. It's an agile and deadly burglar. So basically, it's the lurk in Blades in the Dark. And I had a character in Blades in the Dark that I played literally twice, and I was like, just gonna shove it in this one because I get more. Get more game out of it.
So how have you've only played it a couple times?
Yeah, I've only played it a couple times, and so play the infiltrator, and we kind of had this idea because I was a criminal and I was stuck in prison. My opening was I was stuck in prison for petty crimes, and because of that, and how we set up our mechs is that I have one of the beta mechs or the alpha mechs that were somewhere in tests that are connected neurologically to you. So I had like a port in the back of my head because I was a criminal, therefore they can test on me because, you know.
Yeah.
So I would connect to my mech through that port in my back, into the brain. Mine's actually called a Kraken, so it's actually like a squid. So it's very like
Ooh.
fluid and like it will squeeze into various places and like it floats.
I'm excited because it seems like you can do some really cool and weird things with this
Oh
game.
yeah. There's some really fun generator names that you can find on
Oh boy. Oh
it.
boy, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm excited. I want to, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I always want to play a goblin character, like a goblin-esque character. And so I'm like, I think I like the idea of like some sort of goblin transformed. So like it has to do like it transforms into a mech. Like
Oh my gosh.
we'll
Just a
figure it
big
out.
old
We'll
green
figure it out.
mech.
Yeah, some ridiculous. But it has a transformation sequence like a magical moving from Powered by the Players and all the PBTA love, I know that you've been doing more stuff with Hootopia. Let's talk about Hootopia.
Yeah.
I don't know how to transition very well. Hootopia, go.
And just jumping right in and go.
Yes.
So Hootopia started, I think it was because we had a, so there was originally back 2019? Yeah, 2019, I think. This show called Welcome to the Party. I don't know if you remember it or anything like that. It was like, had various like one shots and like all that. And there was a show called, it was Vibrant, Visible, Victorious, I think, or somewhere in that order. But we call it 3V for short. And it was an all Ben POC sort of show that would run one shots. And it was great. So it was with Welcome to the Party. Drama happened, like you do with any community. And we all left. And then Jess and Miriam started up Hootopia because they wanted to like really represent and highlight Ben POC designers and players and GMs. And me being good friends with Miriam and Jess, I was like, I want in. Thank you.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Whether you like it or not.
Let me in. Let me in. And then I was just thinking of the meme where the guy's like just shaking the fence, like, let me in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, doing that, I started playing Kahania with Miriam and Bashir and at the time Nino and Connie. Now it's instead of Nino, there's Kupo. But yeah, I was doing that. They're looking for more like organizers and brains and stuff. And I was like, y'all know I'm here to help. And so I became an organizer while they're the caretakers. It was me and Adam Ali coming up as caretakers. And so, yeah, we've been doing that. And then for season two that was going on, that's how Hootopia pretty much started is, you know, they're trying to get more in the flow of like getting back in season two of like, you know, they had back in season one with Game Roulette was like a one shot games. And then like a palette was like a highlight interview panel showcase thing. And then they had Kahania and then Chimera's Cape and Blade as well. So that was season one. And now we're starting to like trying to get into season two. But, you know,
it's a bit of difficult everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
So for season two, then, what have you been doing? Because I know I was excited about this show. I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but Kids on Broobs.
Yes.
Which is such a cool concept.
Yes. So we were talking about season two stuff, and I was like, you know, because the whole person who I don't want to, you know, she shall not be named because of J.K. Rowling.
I was like, who the heck are we talking about?
The Harry Potter writer.
See, what's happening is I'm trying to distance basically her from literally any like magical school stuff.
Yes.
And so I've already have like said, oh, magical.
She doesn't
school
exist anymore.
Stuff.
What? I don't know her.
And if listener, if you don't understand why J.K. Rowling is why we're talking about her like that, I really suggest you research her. Plus transphobia. She's a very transphobic person. There's a lot of articles and stuff and people who've talked about it who are well more articulate than I am. And I just suggest you look that up.
Yeah. So basically I was like, you know what? I want to kind of, and plus she's also very white writing in her work as well. Like, I mean, I think there was like a couple POCs like named and they were just like,
Cho Chang. What a great name.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, I grew up with Harry Potter. And unfortunately, yeah, that's like one of my touchstones in my childhood. And that's just how it is.
Same.
So I basically wanted to write this game. I basically wanted to like run this game because I wanted to like reclaim and just and then also running a game just played by Ben POC folks and like having like them as the majority as players or having them all as players, rather. I was just like very excited about that concept. So that's how pretty much that started. I put out a call for players. I got 30 plus applicants.
Nice.
That's I was just awesome. Like, to be fair, I forgot to add at first, are you been POC? So there was a few white folk that was like, that happened and we got it set up. We've done our session zero. We finished one recording right now. We're about to do another recording next weekend. And then we'll see. Because I've been doing like 4-hour chunks, but I'm like, maybe that's too much for everybody. So just because it's 4 hours once a month, I was like, maybe they want to do 2.5 like every other week to like break it up and not like being like exhausted by the end of it.
You were on Petal Grove, and I was like, I'm only doing this for an hour and a half. I can't run a longer session than that.
Yeah, so we actually decided for PPTP going forward is that we're going to do 2.5 hour recording sessions where the first 30 minutes is just it's a gabbing, and then we'll play for 2 hours just to get it out of our system. So I was like, maybe if they want to do that, we'll transition to that instead of the whole 4 hours, where it's just like it's just so much. So yeah, I am very excited. So far right now, session zero is out, at least with the world building aspect, and it's just they're all really brilliant. Oh my gosh. They're so fantastic. So I have Monica, who does art. She actually did art for Kids on Bikes Volume 1, I believe. So she's a really fantastic artist. We have a Kimmy who does a lot of digital art, I believe, and video game stuff, or maybe video game stuff, I think. Don't quote me, but just creative human. And Kimmy's actually the one of the ones who actually was like talking to Twitter, like, I would love to play like a Kids on Bikes or Kids on Brooms game. I was like, Kimmy, sign up for my game. Austin, who is a fantastic writer and designer and just a good human overall. Dan is a just a creative human. And Izzy is another just Izzy just got into like tabletops like a year ago, and
Oh,
so
nice.
just deep diving.
Yeah, you're doing a stream.
And
Play on screen.
what's great is we're actually pre-recording everything, and Jess, bless them, they're actually editing everything. So it's releasing's a little slow, which is understandable because they're actually adding captions and all
Oh,
that.
nice. Yeah. I've been looking into doing that too on some stuff, like also getting transcripts for podcasts is
Yeah.
something that I've been looking into as well, because it would be nice to have that
Oh
accessibility
yeah, I kind of
option.
want to do that for all the PBTP games as well, but also I don't know where to do it. I'm just like, how do I start this?
I think there are people out there who do that for, like as a job, like they'll
Yeah.
transcript, and I have to
But
find
they
those
cost money,
people.
and I have to figure out how
It
to get money
yeah.
to pay
Yeah.
them, because a lot of this is all labors of love. But we did, however, get funding for Donuts and Duels, which is our Kids on Brooms game, which I love the name Donuts and
Yeah, that's
Duels.
really good. I like it too.
So how that, if you want to know, dueling just because of one dueling, donuts came out because they were like, oh, we wanted the school to be in a pastry shop or like attached to the pastry shop. In return, they actually turned the pastry shops into like a train stop. The train takes them to the magical school. So like,
Donuts and then duels.
yeah.
That's nice. I like it. That's really
So
good.
it's really delightful. But yeah, that's Kids on Brooms or the those Donuts and Duels game. We call it Do and Do, like just said D and D.
Yeah, that's actually really fun too.
So it's DONDU.
Okay, you've got your Kids on Brooms game, Donuts and Duels, or Do and Do. And I also got super excited to see this come up recently across my Twitter dashboard, which is your games at a glance.
Yeah. Oh my God. So it came out originally whenever I was doing the PC Ember in December, which is someone decided like, hey, let's make a player character every day in December to like, highlight a game and like, show off the game stuff. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And so I was getting set up in November and I was like, I've won a lot of BEMPOC games. So December has 31 days in it. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
About 25 of them were all BEMPOC games.
Nice.
So I was like, this is great. And then I got to like day 7 of like December and I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. My brain's broken, like sort of
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Which is, it happens. I can't do daily logs or anything like that. I like solo RPGs. I love them. I purchased them. They're just there.
Yeah, I love like journaling ones, or like you're actually making you're playing the game, but you're also making something, so at the
Yeah.
end of it you have like an artifact that went along with the game.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, that's really cool. If only I had the ability to focus for more than one day.
Same. Like I still haven't finished Wishing Sigil. which is a Doug Lewandowski and Banana Chan journaling game. I think I had like 5 days left, and I was like, there was one day I was like, I'm just gonna power through this, and I got most of the way done. I was like, man, I'm done. Like, and then I did Wait For Me, which is a, I believe it's a Jeong Shim sort of game, and I saved it. I have it all in a folder in my mailbox because I email it to you daily, and I was just like, I'll get to you one day. You're just gonna stay here for now.
I feel that. I feel that. But then game, so Games at a Glance was born from that exercise of like trying to make a player PC every day.
Yeah, so I was just like, I really want to hype up these like indie games written by been POC designers, and so I held on to that, and then we had a meeting, and I was like, you know, and I was just like talking about that because we were talking about like other things that we could do, and I was like, oh, idea is me doing, you know, just a chill stream or just talk about like been POC games and just, you know, just hang out and deep dive into these games, and you know, I can learn a game, you people can watch this and learn a game. And get to know these designers, and I was like, okay, cool, let's do it. And so that's how it went, because a lot of these games I've either read before and like really haven't deep dived into and like skimmed them, or like I haven't read yet, and I was like learning it with the viewer.
For the games that you're picking for Games at a Glance,
Yeah.
what do they tend to like? Can you give me some examples of what you've been looking at so far?
Yeah. So for example, like this past one was my birthday, and I was like, I want to do something that's nice and cozy and warm. So I did Cozy Town by Jammy. Yeah, so it's a game that's in the base idea of A Quiet Year, but it has more influence at like Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing and like other like cute cozy games, because it's like a slice of life sort of like world where you like you go through the seasons and you talk about like things that are happening. And I was like, I want something cute, I want something cozy. I was like, I'll do Cozy Town. And then from there, we figured out there's a whole jam that came from that whole, even though the jam itself wasn't all been POC, but there's a whole like cozy game jam that happened. So there's like tons of games within that jam that are along the same lines of like cozy comfort sort of games.
I love cozy games. I
Yeah.
need more cozy games.
I still haven't played Cozy Town, and I want to so badly.
Let's just do it. We
Yeah.
should just play Cozy
Yeah,
Town
let's get a group
because
together and play Cozy Town.
let's
I'm
just
so
do
down.
it. And talking about like built using a game to like build part of a game. This is a great world building tool. If you're
Yeah.
like trying to do a cute game.
Yes, and like having like, you know, whenever you're building that game too, they'll talk like about events and like various like histories and stories and like connections your town has with other towns and like other
Yeah.
communities. So basically, and I interacted with the chat too. I'm like, hey, chat, give me ideas, 'cause like we'll like hypothetically like think of games together. And I was just like, all right, so give me some ideas. And so one of the people was like tiny teddy bears, like just tiny little teddy bears living on leaves. And so one of the people who was in the chat was actually an artist and actually drew up a little like tiny teddy bear on a leaf. I don't know if you've
Oh.
seen the art or not yet.
No, I haven't. I'll have to go check it. It's on your Twitter.
Yeah, it's on my Twitter.
I'll hunt for it.
Okay, it's in the last Games at a Glance, like, and I'll usually do like write-ups afterwards just so people can like in Tachytopia so like they can find it.
I love it because I think and maybe you know that notice this too, where it's like there's just so much stuff out there that it's hard to like find like a list or like people who've curated some sort of like literally what the name of your show is, Game at a Glance. Hey, this is a game like you might be interested in it. And it's also nice to see, especially highlighting BIM POC where
Yeah, and because I think we don't get enough recognition, especially with big name games that are like in the thing, especially with big name games treating BIM POC like their writers like absolutely garbage.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's fantastic what you're doing with Game at a Glance. Being in the shadow of such like bigger names, it's hard for, you know, when you're a marginalized creator to get that platform. And I'm so
Yeah.
happy.
Yeah, and I'm using what little platform I can, like with Utopia, to be like, here's some really cool designers that also be in POC that are trying their hardest, like writing games on their own and like, you know, selling them at like, you know,
$2, pay what you want,
$2. Yeah.
$5. Yeah.
And at least we can do is at least like promote them and be hyped about them and be excited for them and like how they are as a designer and like, and I actually just moved from like, I actually started adding in like news segments and like Kickstarter segments. Because at the time, Coyote and Crow was happening on Kickstarter, and I wanted to talk about it. Because like, By the way, they reached 1 million before they closed. I was so
That's really
excited.
exciting. That's super exciting.
Yeah, because when I talked about Monday, and I think it was ending on Thursday, they were at like 700,000. And I was like, oh my God, they're so like, if they get 1 million, they get this like author, this native writer, like who native author to be write a scenario. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Hopefully they get it. And they didn't. I was like, yes. So I'm really excited about that. There's another Kickstarter that's currently going on at, well, at the time of this recording, called Tomorrow in Revelation 3, which is co-written by Dominique Dickerson. Yeah. Which is a sci-fi game and like a bunch of stretch goals were all BenPOC writers, and one of them one was Jabari, I believe. The next one was Jonaya Kemper. And I was like, we need them, we need those writers, but I don't think they've hit like other stretch goals, which makes me sad. I'm like, no, give them the money. So I was like talking about those Kickstarters, and then like I did a news segment because at one point Apocalypse Keys just came out with Evil Hat. I don't know if you know about Apocalypse Keys or
I
not.
had Jammy on, and we talked about, yeah,
Yeah,
I'm super excited
yes.
for Jammy. Yeah.
By the way, I'm with Jamie playing that game every other Wednesday on Actual Play. We're playing our season two because we actually played Apocalypse Keys last
Oh,
year,
nice. Yeah.
back in the fall times, I believe. And it was before they did a lot of like redo stuff because this is like whenever they were releasing it on their itch. And now that they're releasing with Evil Hat, it's like new stuff, and so they're going through the playtest right now and like all that, and it's we're playing the same characters, and like it's like a couple months later sort of situation. And it's really delightful.
I'm so happy, Morgan, that you're doing all of this work for it's been fun to see kind of like the growth that is happening like just on my Twitter timeline and seeing like Qtopia get more stuff, 'cause I saw Qtopia prior to season two of everything and it's like, oh my God, there's so many more shows, and I'm like, wow, it's like Morgan's got two shows on
Actually, three technically, if we
three
talk about
three
me being on Kahania as well. So I'm a player of Kahania. I run Donuts and Duels, and I am the main person for Game at a Glance, because you know I'm doing what I can to help out. And like if someone wants, if it's gonna step over and like be like, I want to do Game at a Glance, like here you go, have fun. Like, but I want to try to promote and push as much as I can. If that means I gotta put in the extra work being the front facing person, like I'll do it. I don't know how to edit, so like I do what I can. Like we have, you know, Miriam and Jess are amazing editors and like sort of like people in the background. I'm like production wise, I'm like, yes, do it, because I have no idea how to do it. But if you need me to be the face, I will be the face.
And you have such enthusiasm and you such love for games, and it's so good, and I can feel it, and I hope the listeners can feel it. So listeners, go find Morgan and go find Utopia. Morgan, where can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter or pretty much any socials at Serena Bezos. That's SirenaBezos. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. I'm hardly on Instagram. Sorry, not sorry. I can do one social media at a time, just one. And yeah, I usually just post all my stuff there because it's easier just to blast that. So you can find me on Heatopia. You can find me on Ryan Bolton's page for Chimera. Currently, I'm doing Actual Play with Sean Nittner. I am also doing RPG Hour, playing Monster of the Week over there. I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's
Oh, it's so much. It's like, but it's good. It's
I'm
good.
just like, hold on, let me look at my calendar real quick. Let me
Good.
just check things out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And also, I just love talking to you because I miss you so much. I just.
Oh, I was like, I gotta get Morgan on the show because we haven't seen
I
each other in like
know.
2, 3 months. Oh, anyway, well,
Bye.
bye. That's how I end this
Okay,
podcast
bye. Shut.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You can find me on Twitter at RocketOrca, Kenny is at Volfmir, and John is at CrosswaysGM. Tabletop Babble is part of the Geekspective Network. Go to geekspective.com to check out all our other shows or follow us on Twitter at Geekspective. Our theme music was provided by the Battle Bards.